I'd like to welcome you to this series of seminars on a very important topic, and that is mentorship. My name is Kevin Swanson. I am a director for Generations with Vision Ministries. I'm also a pastor. I'm a father of five children, and I've been a mentor for 7 years. I believe this is one of the most important topics that we are dealing with today in our present situation. Mentorship is critical. Mentorship has been around for thousands and thousands of years, but it has never been used as much as it ought to in our present day. In other words, we're not as familiar with mentorship as people have been in past ages. And I want to go over some of the basics of mentorship, but before we do that, let's talk about the importance of it. Why mentorship and why now? College is one way to prepare a person for life. Obviously, education is supposed to prepare us for life, and I would add for eternity, because we are Christians. This is our worldview. We believe there's something beyond our present day, and that includes eternity. But God wants us to fulfill a calling. God wants us to do something here, and education is supposed to prepare us intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, and physically for life, and our life's calling, as well as our eternal calling in heaven with Jesus Christ. So that's the big picture. Why mentorship? Mentorship is important because it fulfills a biblical concept of education. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But it's also important because it prepares us in a good way for a life calling and for an economic contribution to the world market that we engage in our work. Now, as it turns out, our present-day economic situation is hurting. It's hurting badly in most of the developed nations around the world, and that's partially due to education and what education is not doing and not preparing your average person for the calling that God has for them in the economic sphere. So what we've got is an economic demise happening, at least in America. We're at the highest debt levels than ever before. In the past, when we've driven our debt up fairly high as a percentage of the gross national income, it has been in a period of wartime, but not so in the last 30 to 40 years. We've driven our debt up not to pay for defending the nation, but for sustaining a standard of living and economic condition, entertainment, and other things that are just making life fun for people, but not really sustaining or developing an economic future for our children and grandchildren. That's what you do when you spend high debt levels at the government level or in households across America. You're effectively spending your children and grandchildren to debt, making it more difficult for them to live at a fairly adequate economic level. So what we see is that debt has increased as a percentage of the household income 7 times over the last 100 years. The federal debt is exponential today, far more than anything we've ever experienced in the history of this nation, and it doesn't look like our governments have what it takes to bring us back to a sane economic policy. So that means that we're going to be in trouble in the years to come unless we see a worker base arise that will compensate for the economic decline of the times. But the problem with that is we also have a demographic implosion or a population pyramid that's imploding over the next 30 to 40 years because the birth rates are imploding. At one time, we had a fairly high worker to retiree ratio in America. It was something like 7-2, but it's decreasing to 1-1 over the next 30 to 40 years, which means there'll be far less workers for the average retiree, making it extremely difficult for the economy to survive and to thrive. So you're saying, yeah, I realize there's going to be far less workers for retirees, but maybe the workers that are in the marketplace will compensate for that because they're the men and women of the very highest character. Well, the problem is that we don't have people of high character anymore for a lot of reasons. One is we lack fatherhood, we lack mentorship. 42% of kids are born without fathers, up from 7% in 1960 when we had a pretty high worker base and a fairly efficient market that was driving our economic future. Well, now we have far, far less character, far less fatherhood, We have young men not growing up. 70% of young men aren't grown up, up from 30% in 1970, and it's probably going to be even worse in the years to come. And the reason for that, of course, is that young men are not focused, they're not prepared, they're not mentored, they have no real goals in life, no real purpose for life, and they're probably not going anywhere in life. They're playing games. They're playing lots of games while Rome burns. And we say that because during the Roman Empire, during the fall of the Roman Empire, the Roman Empire was declining because people were more focused on what they called bread and games. They were interested in the Colosseum. They were interested in the social welfare programs that were sustaining them. They were interested in playing the games while the hordes ran down into Rome and destroyed Rome and the Roman Empire. Eventually, a society loses the will to live, doesn't have what it takes to sustain the economic future of the nation. And I don't believe we have enough character to maintain the towers we have built over the last 100 years or so. So with each successive generation, we have less character. We have less kids born in a nuclear family with a mom and dad. We have less kids who are raised by mothers and fathers in a healthy, functioning family by a long shot. We have less kids that have the character built into them in their homes, less kids mentored by people who care about them, and hence they begin to lose more and more character and more ability to engage in the marketplace. Now, we want to get down to the core of what it is that constitutes a really solid education, and I want to begin with the matter of character. Character is preeminent in the education of a child. I take that straight from God's theory on education found in the book of Proverbs. This is really key. God has something to say about everything in His Word because God is very wise. He made us. And if he can make something as complex as me, who can think and emote and move around like this, we have to assume that God knows something about these humans and can give us an adequate theory of education. Most people don't go to the Bible for a theory of education, but I recommend that you do so. What does the Bible say about education? If education prepares us for a strong economic future, if education is important for the future generations, for the lives, for the minds, the souls, the hearts of the next generation, then let's go into God's Word and find out what God's Word has to say about education. And as it turns out, there is a book written on a theory of education, on giving wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to a young man or a young woman, and it happens to be the book of Proverbs. Now, if you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to find right away that there's not a lot in the Pythagorean theorem in the book of Proverbs. There's not a lot on geometry, or geography, or geology. And people say, well, why is that? Is it because God has a deficient theory on education? Or is it because God actually has a theory of education that doesn't comport very well with the theory of education that we have received in our public schools through John Dewey, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and Horace Mann, and the others, humanists that have constructed our education systems today? And I think that's the reason why the book of Proverbs is not used in public schools or many private schools in America anymore. But as Christians, we go back to God's theory on education, which is the book of Proverbs, and we ask the very simple question, what is it? Now, as it turns out, it's not as much about geography, geology, and geography as it is about character. Throughout the whole book of Proverbs, of course, the book deals with epistemology, metaphysics, ethics, leadership skills, psychology, anthropology, getting along with others, and all the other things. But the Bible presents a form of education that is really rooted in the idea of character. If preparing a human being for life would be something like building a building, like what you see around us here, education presents a geography, geology, and geography, but it also ought to be really rooted in character, and the studs, the drywall, the foundation of education really ought to be character. And geography, geology, and geography is just the wallpapering and the paint and the wall hangings. It makes the place livable, but it's not the substance of it. That's why character is so important in the education of a child. Now, my son was always pretty good in mathematics, but at some point he was getting lower grades. He was getting the 75% and the 65%. And so we challenged him to do the lessons, and if he got less than 85% of the test, he had to redo the 4 to 5 lessons again. Well,
when he attempted that at some point, he got less than 85%. We challenged him and said, son, you've got to redo all of this. Now, he was a little upset at first and said, why do I have to do all of this? I know it already. And I reminded him, we're not really focused on math here. We're not teaching you math here. We're teaching you character. We're just using math in order to teach you that character. Now, math is an amazing way to force character out of you as it gets more and more difficult, as we crank up the difficulty level. Even somebody who's pretty bright and capable in the area of mathematics might get stuck. And sometimes our children will sort of back away from the textbook, becomes a little intimidating, and you find out they're not really applying themselves much anymore to the math textbook because they're stuck. They've reached a point at which they can't overcome an obstacle in that program. And so as parents, we turn to our children and say, as the Proverbs say, the slothful man won't do his work because there's a lion in the road. So what you do with your children is you don't just give them all the answers. You don't make it easy on them. You challenge them in the area of character because there's always lions in the road. You wake up on a Monday morning when you're 27 years old, you go to work, you're going to confront lions and you're going to have obstacles. You're going to have bugs in your computer program that'll take you all day to work through. You're going to have people that are difficult to work with. You're going to have sales calls that are going to be challenging to make. You're going to have problems you need to work out with clients that are challenging for you, and unless you have the kind of attitude to jump into it and engage it and wrestle it to the ground, you haven't learned the lesson you needed to learn in the math study. So as parents, we take our children outside, we point to the lion, and we say, here's the way you deal with lions. You pull out your 45, you put it in the head of the lion, and you pull the trigger, and you go and plow your fields. That's the kind of attitude of diligence that the diligent man need to pick up on in an education program. Now, see, some people say, well, that's fine. We can learn our character traits apart from an educational program. But God doesn't present education in that form at all. He weaves it together so that we're constantly developing character. It's a 724 process. And granted, this is not the focus of most educational systems today. And this is our problem. Our educational systems aren't focused on character and the discipline involved in nurturing character in the 724 process in the raising of the young man or the young woman. And that's because schools aren't meant for that. Schools are meant for educating in facts and figures, not in the area of character. Yet, God enforces this system of education upon anybody who disciples / educates children in the home school or anywhere else. Dr. Thomas Stanley is a man who's written some books on how to be successful in the American free marketplace. And I recommend some of his books. The Millionaire Next Door is one of the books in which he surveys 722 American millionaires. He asks them the question, what is it that contributed to your success? Obviously, millionaires, guys who have somehow pulled together $1 million or are pulling in $1 million a year are typically, I think, considered successful in the American free marketplace. And they're just, you know, wondering what is it that contributes to that kind of success. Are you curious about that and how that these people became as successful as they are? I am. So here's Dr. Thomas Stanley reviewing 722 American millionaires, and he asks them, what is it that contributed to your success? And his survey was very interesting. It turns out the people that responded by saying, I did very, very well in college, I got straight A's in mathematics, I got my PhD in chemistry, that was number 26 on the list of important factors that contributed to success in the American free marketplace for these millionaires. As it turns out, the number one most important factor in the success of millionaires in America, according to Dr. Thomas Stanley's survey, was tell the truth. Believe it or not, tell the truth. You say, well, what in the world does that have to do with what we're learning in the math class? What I'm doing in my chemistry PhD program? Very little for the average American educational system. But as it turns out, for Dr. Thomas Stanley and for actually getting out and doing stuff in the marketplace, the character trait of telling the truth is vitally important. In fact, if you look in the Bible, say, about the issue or the matter of telling the truth, you'll find it does show up from time to time in the book of Proverbs, that's right, Proverbs. Proverbs is God's book on wisdom. Proverbs is God's theory on education. God knows what he's talking about here. And I did a prioritization of the most important lessons brought up again and again and again and again in the book of Proverbs. Turns out the most repeated lesson in the book of Proverbs is the use of the tongue and telling the truth. Believe it or not, that is the point that God is trying to just pound home 100,000 times in the book of Proverbs. And the reason why he brings that out again and again is because it's not a lesson easily learned. When people learn to tell the truth, it contributes to tremendous success in the marketplace. And yet, it typically takes a mentor, a teacher, a discipler, a parent, somebody who is vitally interested in the success, in the spiritual, in the physical, economic success of that person. And that's why it's so important to weave character and to see character as preeminent in the education of a child. Now, as it turns out, number two on Dr. Thomas Stanley's list was diligence or hard work, incredibly. Now, hard work shows up, as I said, in the book of Proverbs again and again and again and again. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. There's many references to diligence in the book of Proverbs. Also, number three was self-discipline, which is related to diligence. Number four was getting along with others, which is just about every other verse in the book of Proverbs. There's a huge amount of information in God's Word on getting along with others. Critical, critical for everything, for the functioning of healthy families, churches, communities, business relationships. If you do not know how to get along with others and be a consummate peacemaker, I'm here to tell you, you'll never survive in management in the business workplace, because that's probably in the top three most important things you need to do every day as somebody responsible, as a leader in business, church, whatever it is. You have to be a consummate peacemaker, and that shows up in the book of Proverbs. You want to be successful? Read the book of Proverbs. You want to be successful? Begin to work these character traits into warp into the woof of your life. Number five, by the way, was, according to Dr. Thomas Stanley, number five, in terms of a factor that's important if you want to be successful in the American free marketplace, number five was getting a supportive spouse. Now, as it turns out, that also shows up in the book of Proverbs. Yeah, got it. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, the very, very end, after 30 chapters of dad giving all this wisdom and this great education program to son. Mom finally shows up at the very end and says, "Oh, son, you got to get a supportive spouse. Whatever you do, be sure you get a supportive spouse, one who can be there for you, but compliment for you, be the help meet that God intends for your life so that you will be successful." And this is what she looks like. Her price is far above rubies, and she looks like this. And that, my friends, is the book of Proverbs. Believe it or not, God must have learned something from the millionaires. Or was it the other way around? Maybe the millionaires learned something from God. Character, preeminent in the education of a child.